It's our pleasure for you to be with us tonight, and should you be a visitor, we're glad you've come. As was announced this morning, I want to talk to us for just a few minutes tonight about God's use of water. If you were to start reading in the book of Genesis and read through the entire Bible, you'd run into the word water. How many times do you think? 367 times. And so that's a lot of use of the word water. Ryan just read to us a minute ago from 1 Peter 3, where Peter affirmed, and that's our text, the springboard into our lesson tonight, that in the ark, 8 souls were saved by water. What I'd like to do tonight in this short study is to catalog for us some times and instances in which the Lord used water to bring about His plan. I begin with you in the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis, in chapter 2 and verse 10, God used water in the Garden of Eden. If you'll remember back in the book of Genesis 2 and in verse 10, and a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from thence it was parted and became into 4 heads. And then he names those rivers. Revelation 2:10. That's Genesis 2:10. How that in Moses' writing he emphasized the first use that God made of water. Would you like to have been in that beautiful garden on that occasion? Notice all the things God had prepared for man, and it's called the paradise. They lost it because of their disobedience to God, but He used water for the first time to bring about that beautiful garden. Come with me this time to the book of Genesis in 18. In the book of Genesis in the verse 18 and in verse 1 through 4, is the example of Abraham that used water to wash the feet of his guests. Foot washing is not new to the New Testament. You know, there are religious people come Easter time that have an Easter service and a foot washing. Are you familiar with that? There are religious people that do that, and they make it a part of the worship. Do you know that? Foot washing was never a part of the worship. He was a part of hospitality. Folks that maybe wore sandals, their feet would be dirty and hot, and they would be invited into their house to wash their feet. In Genesis 18:4, how that men came to Abram's place, and he said this, "Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree." Genesis 18 and the first 4 verses. You come into the New Testament to the book of John. In the book of John in chapter 13. If you remember in the book of John 13 verse 5. What happened in John 13 5? It's also an example of where Jesus washed the people's feet. He poureth water. You know my subject is about water, don't you? Into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Again, this is just an act of hospitality. In 1 Timothy 5, you remember the widow that the church could enroll, that is, could help on a basis from the treasury? One of the qualifications of that widow was, you remember what it was? She's washed the saints' feet. Now, foot washing is not an act of worship. Never was. This is not worship. And that woman washing the saints' feet was just listed among good works. And so, people who have foot washing as an act of worship have misused and misunderstood the purpose of it. It was an act of hospitality. I'm just talking to you about how God over the years used water. That's another thing we'll talk to you about. Number 3. How that water kept the ark afloat. The text that we heard read from 1 Peter 3 was that 8 souls were saved by water. Did you ever wonder how that worked? How were these souls saved by water? They didn't get wet, did they? They weren't in the water, but they were saved by water. You know how that took place? Well, let me give you the passage. It's in the book of Genesis 7, verse 17. In Genesis 7 and verse 17, we learn exactly how it was that water saved those in the ark. Listen to this. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth. And the waters, there's my word, waters, increased and, listen, bear up the ark. And it was lift up above the earth. That's how they were saved by water. It kept the ark afloat so they wouldn't drown. Now, I heard a preacher say one time, the Bible never says they were saved by water. He must have not read the text that Ryan read to us a minute ago. 1 Peter 3, 20-21, saved by water. That preacher said we're saved from water. The Bible doesn't say that. Not from, but by. There's a big difference in from and by, isn't it? And you can see that. And so God used water to keep the ark afloat. But again, you remember, come with me now, number 4, to 2 Kings 5. In 2 Kings 5 is a story of Naaman the leper. God used the waters of the Jordan River to cure him. Read the whole chapter, 2 Kings 5. Naaman had leprosy, a disease that could not be cured by the hands of men. God sent his messenger to him, and he said this in 2 Kings 5 and verse 10. 2 Kings 5, verse 10. I want to show you how God used water on this occasion. Elisha sent a messenger unto him, that is Naaman, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times. The Jordan River. You know what's in the Jordan River? Water. And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Well, he got mad and wanted to substitute something else. Turned away in a rage, and finally somebody said, if he'd bid you do some great thing, you'd have done that. Now look at verse 14, 2 Kings 5:14. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan. What's in the Jordan? Water, the river. According to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. God used water of the Jordan River to heal a man of a dreaded disease that was incurable, leprosy. You see, God can take anything he wishes and do anything with it, right? That's a good example of this. Well, that's not all that can be said about this. Let me take you back a little bit to Exodus 14. In the book of Exodus, you remember that the Lord's people had been in Egyptian bondage. They've been set free, but the Egyptians are chasing them. They're getting away from them. And God calls upon Moses and says, Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Remember that? And that's in Exodus 14 and verse 13. 14, 13. Now, when you think about this crossing of the Red Sea, you know what's in the Red Sea? Water. Right? So in this Exodus 14, he stretches out his hand, arm. God sends an east wind that blows all night, you remember, and dries up the water. And the people walked across on dry ground. Verse 22. Watch verse 22. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea up on the dry ground. Somebody said, that don't sound like water to me. Keep listening. And the watchers were a wall unto them on their right hand and their left. A cloud over the top of them, and they walked across. And God used the waters of the Red Sea to free the Israelites from Egyptian bondage. And after they got across, you remember what happened? These Egyptians followed them. And again, according to verse 27, Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea. You know what's in the sea? Normally, water. And the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters, there's more word again, returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. They were drowned in the waters of the Red Sea. And the apostle writing about in the book of Hebrews, 11:29. Remember when he lists all those great faith heroes in Hebrews 11:29? He made reference to the Red Sea crossing of the Lord's people on that occasion. Can't you see what God can do with water? Whatever he wants to. Don't ever question how he uses whatever he wants to use. Because of who he is, the power that he possesses. Pretty important, isn't it? Well, let's look at another one or so to help you appreciate how God uses water to bring about what he wants to bring about. Come with me this time to the book of the Psalms, and chapter 72, the 72nd Psalm. I want to look at verse 6, Psalm 72:6. Talk about God. He shall come down like rain upon the mowed grass as showers that water the earth. Think of that. Psalm 72:6. And on this occasion, Psalm 72:6, number 6, God uses water to freshen and to water the earth. The next time you complain about rain, you ever do that? Oh, it's going to rain today. Going to spoil my picnic. Or whatever. You ever do that? Ever say that? Just remember, God uses water to refresh the earth. What will we do without water from the skies? Gardens wouldn't grow. Jenny'd have a time with that, wouldn't she?
She would.
No water? You know, Jenny's a master gardener. Those of you that may farm some, what would you do without water? Or to drink? You can begin to see then God's use of water. It's pretty important, isn't it? Well, that's not all. Let's look at another one or so. In Matthew 10 and verse 42, remember what the Lord said about, number 7? About just giving a cup of water? Matthew 10, verse 42. What did he say about that? Well, wonder why he used this anyhow. You see, sometimes we overlook the value of small things. Although we can't do something great, we just say, well, there's no use of doing anything at all. But Matthew 10, 42, Jesus said, whosoever, it doesn't make a difference who you are, does it? Whosoever, that's anybody, anywhere, anytime, shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, all in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. What would we do without water? But the Lord used water, just a cup of water. That's very small and insignificant, it seems, doesn't it? But he said, the least things that you can do, they are not going to go unnoticed. Think of that. So the next time you get to thinking, Well, that's too small for me to do. I'm waiting I can do something great and make a big impression. Wait no longer. God used just a cup of water to teach a valuable lesson, didn't he? Matthew 10 and verse 42. But there's another thing I want to talk to you about. Number 8. If you had the marker, what would you put up here next, maybe? Think, let's see if we're on the same page. You know what element there is in baptism? You see, there are six baptisms in the Bible. Four in the past, one in the future, and one for the present. In Ephesians 4, when Paul lists those ones, he said 4 or 5, there's one baptism. What's the element in the one baptism? Well, let me see if I can figure that out for you. Let me give you some scriptures that will help you understand that. The first one is in the book of Matthew 3 and verse 11. Matthew 3 and 11. It's about John's baptism. John the Immerser. He said, I indeed baptize you with what? Water. Unto repentance. John's baptism was a baptism unto repentance. The people had gotten so bad in John's day that his work was to call the people from their bad ways to turn to God. And so it was a baptism of repentance. When Jesus was baptized, in the book of Matthew 3:16, you know what the text says? Listen to it. And Jesus, when he was baptized, that's my word, baptism, went up straightway out of the what? The water. Now that means he was immersed. Because in order to come up out of, he had to first do what? Go down into. And so you can begin to see the use of water. John 3:23. Back to John's baptism. It says that John baptized into Salem because there was much water there. Much water. That would rule out, it seems, sprinkling and pouring for baptism, wouldn't it? It doesn't take much water to pour or sprinkle a little water on somebody, right? See the difference? Then going down into the water. Pretty important, isn't it? In the book of Acts 8, Acts 8, beginning with verse 36. It's conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch who had been down to Jerusalem to worship. He's coming back home riding in a chariot, reading Isaiah 53. Philip, an evangelist, joins the chariot and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And he urged Philip to come up and sit with him and heard him reading Isaiah 53. And the Bible says he began with the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. By the way, that's a summary statement of the gospel. Preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, that is in this chariot, the eunuch said, see, here's what? Water. Why water? What's the rest of that? What hindereth me to be what? Baptized. In what? In water. The element into which one is immersed is water. For the remission of sins. It's important that we do that. You see, over in 1 Peter 3 that we heard read a few minutes ago, 1 Peter 3:20, it says that Noah and his family were saved by water. And then he turns and says, we are saved by baptism. Now the word baptism doesn't mean water. It means an immersion, but immersion in water. That's the element into which one is immersed for the remission of his sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. Let me give you another. In the book of Acts 10, 47 and 48. You know, when you read Acts 10 and 11, whose conversion that is? Anybody know? The eunuchs, right? No, not quite. That's in 8. I just talked to you about that. Cornelius, the first Gentile, He was taught the word, he believed it. And the question is asked, can any man forbid what? Water. That these should be baptized. And he commanded them to be immersed. Can't get away from that, hardly can you? The Lord used water as the element into which a person is baptized or immersed in order to be saved from his past sins. Acts 2:38, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. In the book of John, 3:1-6 is what's known as the new birth. Remember that? Jesus talks to a man by the name of Nicodemus who came to Jesus by night inquiring into the new birth. And Jesus said, except you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom. And he didn't understand that, so Jesus tried again by saying, except you be born of what? Water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom. There's no way you can get away from being baptized in the water for the remission of your sins. Now, a lot of people read these passages, they say, well, that's Holy Spirit baptism. Well, it didn't. The eunuch didn't think that. He said, well, it's water. I heard a preacher say one time, but water doesn't mean water. You know a good question for that preacher? Tell me, if water doesn't mean water, what does the word water mean? Think of that. Just ask that. Don't let them get away from that. Hold their feet to the fire on that idea. Hebrews 10:22 talk about the washing. Ephesians 5:26, the washing of the word. Saul of Tarsus, Acts 22:16, was told to rise and to be baptized to wash away his sins. Washed in what? The water. Oh, there's nothing magic in the water. And nobody believes that we're saved by water. That's not what saves you. It's the act of obedience, but the Lord chose the element of water, as he's done down through the ages, to accomplish his purpose. And you can't hardly misunderstand that, can you? You know, when Jesus talked to the woman at the well in John 4, he talked about if you drink of this water, you never thirst. And you come over the book of Revelation in chapter 22 and verse 1. You know how he addressed that in 22 and 1? He showed me a pure river of water of life. Clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Also in 22:17, Revelation, the Spirit of the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that's athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the what? Water of life, which is freely. It's free. It's available. And you need to take real serious consideration about God's use of water. It's a possibility you might be in this audience tonight and you've never been baptized in water. You're still in your sins until you've been baptized. Do you know that? Everyone you've ever committed. The Bible talks about we're buried with Christ in baptism. Romans 6:3-4. Rise to walk in a new life. That's the only way you're going to have a different life. Is to obey the gospel. That's what baptism is about. Obeying the truth. Let's stand ready to help you do that. Imagine you've already been baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27, but you've drifted away and want to come back to be restored. You can do that as well. Greg, let's see. I invite you to come right now.